case for argument this morning is MAS Capital against Bio Delivery Sciences. Merrickin.
Good morning. May it please the court, Stephen Merrickin representing plaintiff appellant, MAS Capital. The chief issue for the court to decide in this case today is whether the agreement in the series of documents signed by Aaron Tsai in March of 2002 resulted in a release of commissions owed to MAS Financial, Inc. for services rendered in connection with bringing BDSI, that is Bio Delivery Services, public later that year. We say that there are material issues of fact, and there are three main reasons for that. First, we see that there are patent ambiguities in the agreement and the documents. Second, we see that there are latent ambiguities under Florida law, which governs this agreement, concerning the intent of the parties in reaching the agreement. And also, have to remember or view the fact that MAS Financial was not a party to the agreement, was not a party to any of the subsequent or documents, and the only way to get to them is
the current status of Mr. Tsai and the SEC.
The last that I know, Judge, is that the status is the same as when we filed the briefs.
What is that status?
That status, one of the three actions against him resulted in a settlement. I believe it was for $5,000. The other two actions, I believe, are still pending.
There are two now pending. There are actually, I was able to find four cases that had been settled in which he was a party charged by the SEC with misconduct. So you're saying there are four settled cases now. At least that's the number I could find, and two that are still open.
Judge, I'm honestly, I'm aware of only the one settlement.
You may be aware of only one, but I found four that are already published online.
I'm sorry, I don't have
those. Mr. Tsai doubtless was lying to you, as he has lied to others.
I don't think Mr. Tsai was lying at all, Judge.
That's what the SEC continually charges him with.
Judge, I'm those charges are, you know, if they are charges, they are certainly unproven at this point. I know of the one settlement and the other pending actions.
Now, I have another question for you, and it concerns our subject matter jurisdiction. MAS Capital, as of the date this action was removed, was incorporated in Nevada and had its principal place of business in Taiwan. Is that correct?
Yes.
That would make it, I would think, as a naive basis, a citizen of a state and a citizen of a foreign nation. Under what subsection of 1332 does a federal court have jurisdiction between a suit between a U.S. citizen and a dual national?
Your Honor, I took the removal petition to be correct as filed. I am unaware of a certain subsection that speaks directly to that question. I did look at the issue.
1332A2 says there's jurisdiction over suits between citizens of a state and citizens who are subject of a foreign state, which MAS Capital would be, except that it appears to be also a citizen of a state. And then 1332A3 says there's jurisdiction over disputes with citizens of different states and in which citizens or subjects of a foreign state are additional parties. And the reason I ask this is because it looks like 1332A2 doesn't work because your client is a citizen of a state. And it looks like 1332A3 doesn't work because we don't have a standard suit between citizens of different states in which the foreign national is an additional party. The foreign national is also the citizen of a state. And we have a problem here?
Well, if there's no jurisdiction, Judge, then obviously the judgment doesn't...
No, I'm not saying there's no jurisdiction. I'm inquiring. It is the first duty of counsel, as well as of the court, to inquire into subject matter jurisdiction. And the answer, well, I just took it on faith that the other side's removal was correct, is not adequate.
Well, no, I'm sorry, but I didn't just take it on faith, Judge.
So then you did some research and can answer my question.
Well, I don't have a subsection that speaks directly to that.
There is no subsection that speaks directly to it.
What I did was I looked at the removal petition. I saw that the removal petition actually stated that that they were, that is, that MAS Capital was a had its principal, was a incorporated in Nevada, and had a principal place of business. I believe they said Indiana. I recognize that that was wrong. And in our statement of jurisdiction, Your Honor, I simply corrected that. It seemed to me to be one of those situations, one of those circumstances where...
That's not the question between Nevada and Indiana. The question I'm asking is whether there is jurisdiction over dual nationals, which MAS Capital appears to be. That's a question of law, not of the difference between Nevada and Indiana.
I'm afraid I just don't have a direct answer to the question.
Mm-hmm.
I have a question. Your adversary believes that the argument that MAS Capital's agreement is ambiguous has been waived, that the claim is being made for the first time on appeal. Is such a thing possible?
No, that's incorrect, Your Honor. They are incorrect, that is. We certainly did make the argument that of ambiguity. That was the centerpiece of the argument in the district court, in fact. What they've said is that we waived the question of latent ambiguity. And under Florida law, they recognize this, they recognize the theory of latent ambiguity. In fact, we did raise it. It's a little bit difficult, actually, to discern the difference between, sometimes anyway, between a latent and a patent ambiguity under Florida law. And I recognize that. What we've tried to do is compartmentalize these facts under both of the theories of ambiguity, latent and patent.
Is there a contract or anything in writing in the record explaining exactly what Bio Delivery Services was paying for with the 327,600 shares of stock and the 100,000 shares of stock options that were given to Mass Capital?
The only thing is the actual agreement, and that is in...
But there's no written contract.
There a written contract for the sale of the for the sale of the stock? Is that what you're asking, Your Honor?
Well, I guess I'm mixing up the two. Is there a written contract for the sale of the stock?
There is.
Okay, it's the standard fee of 10%.
The sale of the stock, actually, that's in our appendix at page 21.
Okay.
And that is for... that is for the consideration for that is $150,000 plus. That is the only consideration and that is what the agreement states.
Well, then, what evidence does Mass Capital have that Mass Financial standard fee is 10% of the capital generated and 5% of the stock sold? In other words, were there other cases where Mass Financial received a fee or contracts with other entities contemplating a percentage of capital? And in that case, why is there no written contract?
Well, I'll answer the second question first. There is no written contract.
Yeah.
And that is for the commission that was due for the services rendered by Mass Financial. There is no written contract for that. The standard fee is just one that has been established by Mass Financial.
I mean, in other cases?
In other instances, yes. But the record is silent on that.
Well, then, if it's...
They're not really. They're not disputing the commission that is owed. In fact, I don't think we ever even got to that point where they were disputing the amount that was owed. What BioDelivery says is that the agreement was or that by virtue of this March agreement. Anything that was owed to Mass Financial was released.
Yes, it's been a release. Thank you very much, counsel.
Thank you.
May it please the court. My name is Jean Blanton, and I represent BioDelivery Sciences International. And if I could just take a moment and address some of the questions that were posed by the court, I'd like to do so. As an initial matter, the subject matter jurisdiction question, just to clarify, at the time that this action was instituted, Moss Capital was incorporated in the state of Indiana and had a principal place of business in Evansville, Indiana.
Irrelevant. Everything depends on the circumstances on the date of removal.
Correct. Which, at the date of removal, that is what we know of when it comes to Moss Capital. They actually had an office place in Evansville, Indiana, and were incorporated in the state of Indiana.
Whether they had an office in Indiana is irrelevant. What makes you think that their principal place of business is in Indiana?
Your Honor, actually, I believe in this evidence is not in the record because we did not designate the entire deposition transcript of Aaron Tsai. He actually said during the course of this case that he then relocated back to Taiwan. He was actually located and lived in the Evansville area, and that's where all of his businesses were run out of. Every one of his businesses, to our understanding, was actually incorporated and run in the state of Indiana.
When this was said during discovery, what was the date of his relocation, before or after the case was removed to federal court?
After, Your Honor.
All right.
He actually
So you think that when the case was removed, on the date of removal, that MAS Capital was an Indiana corporation with an Indiana principal place of business, and that MAS's own lawyer is not accurately representing circumstances as of the date of removal?
I believe that's correct, Your Honor. I believe what has happened is
all right,
also...
Well, how are we going to figure out who is correct about the jurisdictional status? Was the district court make any findings on this question?
The district court did not, Your Honor. I believe at that time when the case was initiated with the actual counsel for Moss Capital did not dispute the petition for removal at that stage.
Should we send it back to the district court, do you think?
In order to determine subject matter jurisdiction?
Uh-huh.
Yes.
What do you think?
I believe at that time the petition for removal was found to be well-founded in the evidence before the court. We could actually submit some additional evidence from the deposition testimony to clarify the point in terms of where it was located at the time the suit was initiated.
No. The time the suit was initiated is irrelevant.
I understand, Your Honor.
How is it that Mr. Merican is telling us that MAS Capital was, on the date of removal, a Nevada corporation? This is something that one can look up in corporate records. There shouldn't be any dispute here.
Correct.
After Mr. Merican represented that, did you check to see what MAS was on the date of removal?
No, actually, on the date of removal, I know that it was actually an Indiana corporation with a principal place of business in Indiana at that time.
How do you know that?
As
I said, the deposition testimony of Aaron Tsai, which was not actually designated for the purposes of summary judgment, that portion of the record established that.
But it's not in the record, is it?
No,
you just
it's not.
Said it's
a,
not,
it's
in,
not
the
in the record. And B, you don't tell of what state a corporation is a citizen by looking at deposition testimony. You tell it by looking at corporate records.
Correct, Your Honor.
Did you do that?
Yes, Your Honor. The corporate records at that time established the state of incorporation as the state of Indiana. That actually later changed. He changed all of his corporations to the state of Indiana during the course of this appeal after the order from the trial court came down.
This is something that should not have had to be raised in the U.S. Court of Appeals. It's very disappointing. It's particularly disappointing to discover only at oral argument that the appellee thinks that the appellant is not telling us the truth about where the plaintiff was incorporated on the date of removal. This should have come out long before oral argument. So I will give the parties 10 days to file separate jurisdictional memorandas, seeing if it is possible at this stage to pin down what the jurisdictional considerations were on the date of removal, since the representations of both sides cannot both simultaneously be true. And if things are as represented by MAS Capital, whether 1332A provided for jurisdiction in federal court. And both of those two things should be covered. 10 days, simultaneous memoranda. Okay?
Thank you, Your Honor.
Could I ask you something, please? Did Mass Financial perform services for you for which it has not been paid?
Your Honor, actually, I believe what's happened here is Aaron Tsai alleges to have performed the services, and what he has done is assigned those services to one of his numerous corporations. Moss Financial is one of numerous subsidiaries of Moss Capital, which is the name that they've asserted the suit under. In some, as the trial court noticed, or references, there was some remarkable testimony by Aaron Tsai where he says, there are too many subsidiaries of Moss Capital to even name. We had difficulty in terms of this litigation in determining how many of all of these corporations could have been said to have provided these services when Aaron Tsai is the sole party who alleges to have performed them. And I believe another point that is important on that consideration, Your Honor, is the fact that Aaron Tsai performed all of these services prior to the date that the documents at issue in this case were signed.
Okay, so I still don't know the answer to my question. Did Mass Financial perform services for you for which it has not been paid?
And actually, Your Honor, I believe BioDelivery would say no. However, that's not actually the point that was put before the trial court on summary judgment. Basically, what we said in summary judgment is regardless of whether these services were offered or not, Moss Capital, Moss Financial are not entitled to compensation in light of the documents before the court.
Were there services performed that have been paid to someone in this mess?
I believe, Your Honor, at the time that these alleged services were provided, Aaron Tsai was a stockholder and had just as much at stake in terms of getting this company to go public as any other person. And so the services would have been performed by Aaron Tsai and or Moss Capital, who owned stock in the corporation. They would have not done anything in addition to that which any other stockholder would have done at that point, the stockholders being before the corporation had gone public.
Do you owe any money to anyone?
No.
Other than Bloomingdale's, you know. Do you owe any money to anyone involved in this case?
No. No, Your Honor.
No.
No. However, I would highlight for the court that is actually not in the record. We did not dispute, for the purposes of the summary judgment motion, whether or not money was owed, whether or not services were performed. The fact of the matter is that the documents executed by Aaron Tsai, both individually and as president of Moss Capital, state that he's not entitled to any compensation. And those documents were signed after the alleged services were provided. And if we just take a look at the actual language in the agreements, we've got two different documents here. One is titled Agreement, and in that document we're dealing with the sale of the 327,600 shares of stock and relinquishment of the 100,000 stock options. However, there's a second document entitled Certificate. And in the certificate, Aaron Tsai is signing that individually and it's referencing the fact that he is the president, director, and controlling shareholder of Mass Capital, who is the stockholder in this case. Paragraph 3 of the certificate states, neither Aaron Tsai nor Mass Capital, Inc., either directly or indirectly, have any right or entitlement to any consideration or compensation. Aaron Tsai, as I've stated earlier, is the only person, it's undisputed, that he is the person who performed these alleged services. Paragraph 3 of the certificate makes it very clear that he is not entitled to any compensation for these services. There's nothing ambiguous about it.
So he did them for free?
He did them as a stockholder, if he did them at all, Your Honor.
Okay.
And in terms of the waiver question that was posed earlier, the actual argument is, yes, they presented arguments that there were latent ambiguities in this agreement. However, they've expanded upon that argument greatly. Now, we've pointed out several other insufficiencies from their side or their perspective relating to these documents, which were not raised at the trial court level. However, the review here is de novo, and I would invite this court to simply look at the language contained in the certificate. I believe it's clear, it's broad, it's general, and it prohibits the claims that have been filed by Moss Capital on behalf of Moss Financial, and I see that my time has expired. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The case is taken under advisement.